Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. Sure do appreciate each and every one of you. I talked to a couple recently. I was in North Carolina. So if you're listening from North Carolina or join me at a meeting in North Carolina, I talked to several of you that said you listen on the way to work or school in the morning. And I really appreciate that. That means the world to me. I know I speak for Caleb when I say It's humbling, really, that You would join us for these times. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about what is the picture of a person who loves himself. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're finding, Caleb, is that it's a pretty ugly picture.
It really is, yeah. And it's just, I like how we left the last podcast you were talking about as Paul was just giving so many ways to describe somebody who's self-absorbed. And I think part of it is because when we are consumed with self and we're lovers of self, we put up these blinders in our life, and it's very difficult for us to see initially. And so he gives all these different descriptions. And once we start to realize, oh, I am, a lover of self, then all these other ones start to make sense as well. And so it's almost like Paul is saying, hey, there's lovers of self, and here's all the ways that you love yourself. I'm not leaving anybody out. And it starts to get convicting, but like you said, it is something we can go to God about.
And some of these attributes that we've talked about are more overt than others.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, boasting, but others are more subtle. And what we're going to find is that the people that Timothy was dealing with, that he was to avoid, that had these qualities, were church leaders. And that really makes it that much more insidious.
Yeah.
Because we like to view these people as the braggadocious, self-centered business people
in a secular environment.
Right. Yeah. And no, the devil is subtle. And people that are hardened in their sin become more and more subtle. And yet, pride is what God rejects. It's at the top of the list of what God hates. And we need to take this seriously. Look at verse 4, where the Bible says traitors. So a person that loves himself is not going to be loyal to anybody or anything. He's loyal to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's loyal to what works for him. He'll Benedict Arnold his cause for money or for reputation or for whatever.
Yeah.
Did you notice how I just used a name as
right.
a verb?
That yeah, was it was cool. good. Yeah, I liked it. But I feel like it's accepted. It's widely known. So I don't think you made any grammatical mistakes there.
Thank you, Kim. It's the kindest thing you've ever said to me. Traitors, heady, high-minded. So again, going back to pride and the way one views oneself. But I love this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. When I say I love it, I love it from the standpoint of it's very expressive. I don't know that I like the truth of it because it hits me between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good barometer of self-love is if I love the things that bring me pleasure more than I love God.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that I even want to dive deeply into that one because that is so convicting.
It really is. Yeah. It's, wow. Because like you said, a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about, being a disciple and we have to deny ourselves and there are some things that are going to be uncomfortable and we have to be willing to give up everything and to give ourselves to God, to Christ and his cause. And when we think about lovers of our own selves, that's the that's the easy thing to do, to love pleasure, to say, okay, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to serve self today because it's easier for me. Or I'm going to do this today because I get to keep extra money. I'm going to do this today because, but then serving God, loving God, a lot of times there's a lot of self-denial. And you know, it could be tangibly, with certain things like money and other things, but sometimes it's, facing rejection or going through suffering. And those are things that we don't cope with that well. And so a lot of times we just cave into saying, okay, I'm going to do the thing that's acceptable. I'm going to do the thing that people love and I'll get more recognition for, rather than loving God.
Back to pleasures more than God, though. What pleases me, what satisfies me. I mean, that's such a convicting thought. I think, and I'm just going to ask you a couple leading questions, whoever might be listening. Think even about Sunday and worshiping the Lord on a Sunday. How many people are willing to trade the corporate worship time for their pleasure? That's always when my foursome plays golf. That's when I, you know, it's the summer. We go camping. That's just what we do. Again, I'm going to leave this up to your conscience, but might that not be an example of loving pleasure more than you love God? What about watching, and Caleb, you'll know this, yeah, growing up in our home, what about watching a movie and, you know, I think we should have discernment in movies. Now, sometimes there's going to be a theme or even a word that's objectionable, and I think a Christian ought to be able to handle that. But you know what I'm talking about, Caleb. Yeah. You'll be watching a movie, and all of a sudden, it just goes south.
Yeah,
it's raunchy. You know, the objectionable scene starts. And I think those are moments when we have to decide, you know, am I more vested in my pleasure right now and wanting to, you know, have some downtime, or in honoring God? So again, folks, I'm not here. It's not my job to be your conscience, but it is my job, I think, to come alongside and say, pay attention to your conscience and pay attention to principles like this, because at the end of the day, we want to be loving God ahead of loving ourselves. That's the theme through which we're looking into all these points. So that one might need a little bit more just introspection and consideration.
Yeah, no, it's something, you know, you can take with almost every activity and decision that you make. And, you know, I definitely echo what you say. I would take, you know, even just this last week and some of the choices that you made as far as your recreation and when it comes to church or the things of God, and say, overall, have I been a lover of pleasure or a lover of God with the choices I've been making recently?
So verse 5 is the one that I think turns the perspective. Because if you were simply to read verses 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it would be quite easy to use these verses as a depiction of our society, of our secular culture. And you would be right. It certainly is a description of our marketing strategy. It's a description of the Hollywood culture as a general rule. It certainly is. What really turns it on a dime is verse 5. Because the Bible says, having a form of godliness. So now Paul kind of twists the knife.
Yeah.
Because the things he's describing, the self-love that he is explaining, is that which has taken on a form of godliness. So the implication is, Timothy, these kinds of attitudes can be prevalent in the church. They can be prevalent among Christian leaders. And without going into an expose on, you know, the televangelist or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure all of us can think right now of people that are proud, boasters, covetous, all of these things, willing to lay aside truth, lie, cheat, steal,
mm-hmm.
oh, all in the name of God.
Yeah.
So, wow. Sometimes godliness, feigned godliness, is the most effective disguise for self-love. Hmm. Yeah, I sing really well.
Yeah.
I sing really well. So why not be featured as a soloist? You know, merchandise my gift, get all the accolades and praise. But I'm a really good communicator. Boy, I'm a really famous preacher. Boy, let me get my name here. Let me get my, boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Those can be form of godliness. All the while appearing to be godly, but really being self-serving.
Yeah, it's tough to think about sometimes because we like to think that we're inside this bubble sometimes within the church, and oh, we can trust our leaders, and you know, and certainly if they've never given you reason not to trust them, you know, but you know, within just speaking in general within Christianity, you know, there are those, some of them are more obvious than others. But I like how you even were mentioning just your gifts and abilities and how you use them, because as we were talking about lovers of self, some of them are a little bit more out there and you can tell. But then also it ultimately deals with the heart. So, it shows up in ways and the motive behind why you're doing what you're doing. And it's, you know, taking the form of godliness. So it's, you know, it's a dangerous thing to do because you're saying, though, I'm doing this for God. Meanwhile, in the heart, you know, all the while, again, you're okay with lying to people and you're okay with putting on this facade because you love yourself.
So how do you know, just to use this as a self-assessment tool, how do you know if you have a form of godliness or if you have the substance of godliness? Well, think about it. The form of is the outside. It's the shell. Okay? The substance is the inside. So here's the question. Here's what'll help you to know who you are. Does your public life, that's your form, that's what you let people see, does your public life match your private life?
Hmm. Yeah.
So here were people that had a form of godliness, but that was just the mask, because on the inside, they're covetous, they love themselves, they're fierce, they're disobedient, all the things we've talked about, okay? But they masked it all with a form.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to all of us would be this, you know, who is the real you?
Hmm.
Who is the real you?
Yeah.
Why do you do what you do? You know, in your private world, are you really seeking God? Okay, here's a good question. What do you do that no one knows? Because the things that you do anonymously tell me who you really are.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you always have to be known for what you give or known for what you do or drop hints about, then really that suggests an ulterior motive, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, some the people that use that form of godliness, a lot of times it shows up by they're the ones telling you what they did, or they make it publicized in a public setting of what they're doing. But those people that genuinely have a heart for others, you hear that in personal stories and testimonies as you talk to other people. Oh, no, well, they did this for me, or I know they're like this. And sometimes that question of what we do when nobody else knows, that's so convicting, because we can, you know, sometimes with other people around, it makes us change who we are a little bit just so we can look okay. But when we're by ourselves, that's really genuine, authentically where our heart is at.
Jesus gave three pretty convicting illustrations about sincere Christianity in Matthew chapter 6. He said, people that are real on the inside, they're going to give when no one knows. They're going to pray when no one knows. They're going to fast when no one knows but God.
Hmm.
Him that seeth in secret. So, wow, convicting thought to end with today, but I hope that helps. We're going to jump right back into next episode, the last part of this verse 5, and see if we can't see the full thought. But that's all the time we have for today. So I hope you have a great day in the Lord. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.